Part of the buildup to any Olympics is the Torch Run, which is a community-spirited relay that moves the torch across the host country. It's an honor to be nominated and then invited to participate. We were looking forward to a conversation with 1992 Olympic double gold and silver and bronze swimming medalist Summer Sanders, who so many of you know from Roseville. We had connected with Summer earlier this morning when she actually did walk her leg of the Torch Run. And in fact, we have a picture posted on our website at capradio.org/insight. However, as Summer was making her way from the run back to her hotel base, we have lost cell phone connection. So we don't have that conversation at this time, but I'm going to add a little PS to the story. Over the weekend, in fact, on Sunday, Summer landed in a hospital in Park City, Utah, where she lives with her husband and two children, for an emergency appendectomy. But ever the tough Olympian, not wanting to at all give up that opportunity to run the torch, she got a doctor's clearance and jumped on a plane and made it in time to do her leg of the Olympic experience, walking, not running, but nevertheless there in true Summer spirit. So over the course of coverage of the next couple weeks going into the Olympics, we look forward to reviving that conversation with her and wish her the best as she has landed in England to be part of NBC's swimming commentary team. So we are going to bring you a revival of a really wonderful interview that we did with another Olympian, Ruthie Bolton, one of our favorites here, a Sacramento Hall of Famer, a two-time Olympic gold medalist. You know her, of course, from the Monarchs basketball team. She recently released her biography called The Ride of a Lifetime and stopped in at the studio. She has a toddler, and then she had walked in with her baby in her arms. And I said, Ruthie, sit down and catch us up.
I'm trying to get it back after two kids. I'm in that Olympic mentality. I'm like going to the next level. To me, winning the gold medal is easier than raising two kids, but it's fun though. It's so rewarding. It's to me, if I had to miss out on this, I'm a better person because I'm a mom. It challenged me. I have to plan. You'll be amazed at the strength that you have. You don't realize it, but kids really put life in perspective. Really does.
And all the mothers said, hey.
Hey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
New book out, too. You're on a bit of a book tour. There have been books written about you. Is this the first one that you contributed
to? Yeah, this is the first one, and it's dear to my heart because I get a chance to reminisce, and I want to take people down the journey with me. And people, you know, they know about the Olympic gold medals, the Hall of Fame, the World Championship, the accolades, the Monarchs, but I want people to understand the process. I want you to be inspired by the steps that it took for me to get here. And so far is that's been with the case. I've had a lot of people email me and say, oh my God, I didn't know this happened. I didn't know that happened. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to empower people and I wanted to change lives.
You missed the cut in 1992 to go to the Olympics. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the hard lessons are the best lessons. What impact did that one have?
You know what? Because for one, I wasn't recruited out of high school. The college coach didn't want me. After that, I had to pay my way to the first trial. So it's like after you get over a hurdle, it encourages you to give you faith and confidence to go to the next one. So to me, a no mean yes. No is one of the chapters talk about turning no into yes. I'm like, okay, you saying no, but I'm going to show you. So it's something I wanted. I wanted to follow my passion. I knew I wanted to play basketball and that burning passion. But what helped me, my father, my parents helped guide me, helped say, no, believe in yourself. Don't just settle to what people's perspective of you. And don't be mad at people because they just think you're not good enough. That's people's perspective. But he said, find that inner strength within yourself and, you know, your faith and your character. And he said, and then keep it simple like that. So, and I think about it, and my mom and dad, that's why I dedicate the book to my mm-hmm. parents because they gave me a foundation. And as a kid growing up, I didn't always understand, but I really appreciate them and their consistency and their persistency because without their guidance, I would not have the mindset that I do today. And so that's what I share in the book because I want people to say, you know, I wish I could have met your dad or I wish I could have met your mom. And that's what people are saying. So I feel like it's been a success already.
Ruthie, they raised 20 children.
I know.
You had teams around you. They were amazing yeah. people. And you became a basketball star and you're all of 5'8"?
Yes, exactly. With heels on.
With heels. Standing with a very straight spine.
Exactly, yes.
So there was drive. Did everybody in the family get that message from them?
You know, we do it. And we sit around, we talk about You know, and I have kids now, and I think the greatest reward as a parent is one day to see the lights come on to your kids to understand, like, yeah, my teachings were right, to be respected. And my dad was tough. He was very authoritative, and we, you know, we got spankings. I know people don't believe in that. My dad disciplined us. You know, he said every kid, every child bring on a report card. If you get an A, you get rewarded for your A. If you get a D, you get rewarded for your D. I love you all the same. So there are times where some needed more chastising than others. So my dad did it with a calm spirit, and he was consistent always. We didn't have to worry about, like, oh, what kind of mood he gonna be in the day. My dad was the way he was, and he in disciplinary was just like, if it was wrong on Monday, it was wrong on Thursday. So that discipline, that teaching, that structure helped me so much, and I feel obligated. I feel obligated to have written this book. I feel obligated to share and go out and give back to the kids, to the youth, to women, to whomever. But I feel like it's my duty at this point.
You have a toddler. You have a 3-year-old. What kind of a disciplinarian are you?
You know what? I really try to imitate a lot the way my dad.
You?
You know, because there are times frustration. You want to yell. And I try not to yell at my children from frustration. I try to really, you know, if I discipline my daughter, for example, she wants to eat candy all throughout the day. It's like, you know, I try to say, you know what, you can't get it. And I try to explain to her it's not good for you. And you'll be amazed if you do that with a calm spirit, because that it helps her. She is, because sometimes she's like, Mom, yeah, I'm not supposed to have candy. No, I won't eat candy this morning. And she hears me when I speak to her. And I, you know, so it's a challenge. It takes time. And that's what happened. A lot of people just say, you know what, I don't have time. And that's why a lot of kids go without, because the world's a busy place. And I have to remind myself, you know what, my first responsibility when I wake up in the morning time is the welfare of my children, whether that make sure they fed and making sure that they are taken care of. And then everything else falls into place. And that has gotten me to really be more prepared to slow down and just really look at, and it simplify life. My son, he wakes up, he looks at me. He could care less if I brush my teeth, if I comb my hair. He just looks at me at this like I'm the best thing since sliced bread. And that just says it all.
Well, you've got it right. That selflessness cannot be described. And when it kicks in, it's what builds our world. So we're talking with Ruthie Bolton. She has a new book called The Ride of a Lifetime. You are talking like a leader. And that's what I remember about the 1996 Olympics, gold medalist, and the NBA started right after that in 97. You were already a person with a big career. You were a star, and you stepped into this team. And I always remember thinking that you gave them leadership.
Yeah, I did. And there are different types of leaders. And I feel like I gave leadership in a quiet and sort of a lead by example way. You know, okay, if we supposed to run these 2 miles and, you know, in 12 minutes, I want you to not just someone look at me, follow me, but look at what I do and imitate what I do. Not by trying to abuse my position, but I think that everyone has some form of leadership, but I want to be more of a leader by example. And I want, if I'm going to tell you to do it, I want to get out there and show you. And that's what I did with the national team, is that I want to, you know, I want to show this is how it to be done. Matter of fact, my baby brother talks about it in the video. And when I saw that, they did a story on me, a Lifetime. And he said, you know, one thing about my sister, she was always, she did things a lot better than me at times, but she didn't do it saying, oh, look at me, I'm better than you. She did it saying, okay, if I can jump over this fence, you can do it too. So it was interesting to hear her perspective. And that's the kind of leader I want to be. Not bragging about, you know, I make all the decisions, you look at me. I want to be, look at me, let's go do this together. I want to join hands and join forces and not so much try to be, because I want to be with the team, being part of a team, and not so much, you know, isolated from the team. I love being a team player. And I guess being from a family of 20 prepares you for that.
You just are born right into it.
Born right into it, exactly.
The 96 Olympics were in Atlanta, so it was here. And then 2000, we were all down in Sydney. But that 96 game, you had those back-to-back three-pointers. Sorry, I'm going to sound like a jock here. And you were against Russia in the finals, and your three-pointers helped.
This is actually the World Championship, which was the Olympics. Obviously, everybody talk about the GOAT, the Olympics. And
am I talking about the World Championship game?
That's fine. You know what?
Okay, I have you up on a marquee for that game.
But you know what? It's interesting. I'm a player. I never said anything to the coach about put me in, because I trust the coach. You know, I'm a team player. It ain't about me. Whoever she has on the court, I feel like that's who she feels like she has, that needs to be on the court. But this particular game, I just could not find my rhythm. And I remember her taking me out of the game. several times in the game, but this one particular time she took me out with like 7 minutes left. And I was like, man, we got to beat the Russians. And I was sitting there, I said, I know I can do it. I have to. I had already claimed the victory. And so I told the assistant coach, I said, you know what, can you tell her I got to go back in the game? She looked at me like, that wasn't my personality to ask that. But I was like, we got to have this. So anyway, she put me back in the game, and I hit two big threes and got a steal. And that win, believe it or not, was almost as sweet as winning a gold medal in the 96 Olympics, because we had to fight for it. You know, sometimes when things sort of come easy for you, it's fun and you appreciate it, but you appreciate it more when you almost lose it. And it almost slipped through our fingers. And to have won the victory lap, matter of fact, I have pictures of the victory lap when Nell Fortner was our coach, and just running around, just so I was on cloud nine. That was that feeling was just it was like a high. And I just like, you know what, I'm so glad. And I think about, as I was writing this book, I thought about, you know, all those times, the times when I could have quit basketball, I easily could have not played, but all the rewards and all the victories and all the even disappointment. But the whole thing, and I tried to bottle 25 years up of basketball into one book, but I just want people to be impacted by the stories and by my struggles and by the message, and not so much just the accolades.
It was sad to lose the Monarchs. You still live in the area. So what's your perspective on the Monarchs not being here, but the arena effort too?
You know what? It's unfortunate. I tell you, I run into a lot of Monarchs fans all the time, and Walmart, Rayleigh, everywhere. And I love them. And I told a fan yesterday, matter of fact, her name is Goofy, her nickname Goofy. She said, I told her I appreciate them for making me still feel a part of it, because when I retired in 2005, that was hard for me to transition. And it wasn't my own will. It's a long story, but I missed playing, and I felt like, you know, something I did 25 years, but they made me feel like I was just as part of the team as I was on the court. And I told her, I said, thank you so much. She said, well, you always been inspiring to us, and we love you. And that was just so great to see our fans. And so I regret that the Monarchs isn't here. But I know it's decisions that, you know, you sort of got to embrace it. It's just the reality of it now. I really pray that the Kings don't leave, because basketball, Sacramento need basketball. And I hope one day a women's team come back, because, you know, Sacramento is a great place. I love the diversity in the community. And I just pray that we keep, you know, at least the Kings stay here so that our community can continue to enjoy the game of basketball.
Your years in the Monarchs were 1997
to 2005.
Yeah. Well, thanks for being here with us today. And thanks for being such a great community ambassador for the Sacramento area. You always have been, Ruthie.
You know what? And that's why, you know, there's been several opportunities for me to leave. But I just, something about it keeping me here. And I just love the community. And I love how the community have embraced me. And so I'm continuing to do different things. And if you don't mind, I have a website, RuthieBolton.com. If anybody interested in ordering the book or want to keep up with what I'm doing, because I'm getting my calendar, putting on the book, because I want people to know where I go, things I do. If I go, I went to Saudi Arabia about 3 years ago. I'm going to Africa in September. So I want fans to keep up with what I do. I want you to know when I go and I speak to a group of kids, I want you to know how important it was to me. I was just in Reno and I saw thousands and thousands of kids. I want you to know how important, because I want you part of my journey. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have a calendar on my website to keep up with where I'm going and what I'm doing and how to stay connected with Ruthie Bolton.
Thank you, Ruthie Bolton. In these Olympic cycles, we talk about that bigger picture of who a person, an athlete is, because they're an Olympian. But Ruthie Bolton, two-time gold medalist, is the picture of how much you can expect yourself to be and then how to become it just because you're a good person. You're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio. A little comedy to entertain your brain coming up. Critical Hit is standing by.
The rain, the crunch of...